What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is May 26th, 2026. We're recording this on actual Skews Day, so I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I'm here in my Eagle Flag shirt. That's honestly a coincidence. That just kind of happened. I used to wear this in public all the time. I can only do it now when it's a super America-y thing, just because I know what people are thinking, and it breaks my heart. Anyway, I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, man. I'll never give up the American flag. They can
proud of my cold head. No. The American flag is what, again, you see this, yeah. Right? There's an eagle flag. It's like, it's more, you know? It's a step further.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't wear, like I said, there's a guy on my street the other day who was, like, just bullshitting, smoking weed with another guy. He was wearing, like the Thin Blue Line Punisher flag, American flag t-shirt.
Definitely I'm like, okay, not, I know, yeah. Well, I know that's what that, like, there's no misinterpreting that. Or, you know,
yeah. Like the pun, like you're not supposed to aspire to be the Punisher. You're fucking like right. you're already 3 degrees removed from like it's like you're wearing like if you're wearing a Dexter t-shirt, not because you're a fan of the television show, but because you're a fan of Dexter.
Well, the cops like aligning the themselves plot. With the Punisher shit has been weird from the very beginning. Yep. But like, it's just that like it's super fucking cool and badass looking. I think you know, and I mean, and he's a vigilante and all that shit or whatever. But it's like it's never really made. Any sense. So, not that that's ever stopped anybody or anything in this country.
But thinking of Skull and Bones is inherently cool is how you end up drunk in Croatia getting a Totenkopf tattoo. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, some things are just true, Mark. All right. It's a shame when they get co-opted, but what are you going to do anyway?
Yeah, pirates. Pirates are fucking cool.
Yeah.
So before we got a lot of shows, so I want to hurry up and get to it. But before we do, I want to mention this real quick because the corruption is so fucking cartoonish. So have you heard that flavored vapes are going to be legal again, Trey? That's the Maha apparently means flavored vapes.
No, it makes sense though because I was a big fan for years and I quit 2 or 3 months ago. So it makes sense that they're being brought back now legally. So
because they're trying to kill you with the delicious flavors.
Yeah.
So basically, what happens at the end of April? A subsidiary of tobacco giant Reynolds American cut a $5 million check to MAGA Incorporated, which is the main PAC backing President Donald Trump. And then 2 days later, an executive and two of the company's lobbyists had lunch with Trump at his Jupiter, Florida golf club. Two executives from a different tobacco company joined them, supposedly their rival and competitor. Then they complained, that, you know, let me quote here: they expressed dissatisfaction with FDA regulation during the meal. Trump interrupted the conversation to call FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty Makary. When Makary didn't pick up, Trump called RFK Jr. and Dr. Oz. Then people briefed from the meeting told the New York Times that Trump complained to them about the agency's regulation of e-cigarettes. A few days after that, Makary resigned, telling associates he could not in good conscience lead an agency that backed such a policy. Because what they did was after the phone call, like they fired RFK Jr. and Dr. Oz re-legalized flavored vapes.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, well, if you want to do it, that's one thing. But doing it in exchange for $5 million, just that we all know you're doing this.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, look, anybody who's been fucking with me for long enough knows that if I sit here and act like I got a problem with flavored vapes now, I would be bullshitting. I always try to be like consistent here. I always thought it was stupid for flavored vapes to be made illegal. And even though I don't vape anymore, I still think that. But not... like this, like when it's clearly just a quid pro quo, you've been bought off. That's the only reason it's happening in the first place. I mean, that's just like bald political corruption, and that is bullshit, regardless of the thing itself that they're trying to do. You know,
let me ask you this: how old are your sons?
13 and 14.
You caught your 14-year-old son with a mango vape. What do you do?
I mean, I'd you know tell him that he ought not do that. And it's like my dad caught me smoking, and literally goes. Uh-huh. And literally goes, well, what can I say? I've been smoking in front of you my whole life, right? And then just let me keep smoking. Was super hit when I was 16. because he was just like, well, I can't be a hypocrite, you know. Does it, don't it, boy? Let's smoke together. We didn't smoke together, but he just like had a tacit understanding. I would not.
Apropos of nothing, I just want to point out that he's dead from cancer now.
Yes, right. For years. Years and years. I would have to be a hypocrite openly and take issue with it and try to shut it down and keep it from happening. But that's my responsibility. Like, that's not the state of California's responsibility to keep my sons from having mango vapes. Like, that's my...
I understand. It's just like when the whole point, I'm like, this is in tobacco companies' literature. They didn't introduce the mango vapes for adults.
I tell you what, more adults need to try them, you know.
it was a direct response to data showing that teens were smoking less because smoking was less cool, so they made it candy flavored so kids would do it.
Right. And that's like because we killed Joe Camel all those years ago and everything. Yeah. And they had to find new and inventive ways to get them young, you know.
I'll be the last person in this country who still believes that in making a law isn't inherently totalitarian. So I guess I don't feel strongly about it. I have 7 months no nicotine, fingers crossed. I did enjoy the flavored vapes while they were around. Mango was my favorite. Yeah. They had a mango citrus. But it was very, very hard to quit. It was way harder than quitting cigarettes. I hope everyone who ever made them and got me addicted to them burns in fucking hell, even though it was my fault for doing them. So I've had a lot of conflicting.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't. I don't know. That's some sort of philosophical difference we have there. Because I'm like, hey, what? It's my own fat ass fault is how I feel about that. I also have quit, and I'm like 3 months now, and I'm not having any issues, you know, at all. I think I'm good, but still, I'm like, yeah, that was me. I did that. Like, even at 16, I did it, you know?
No, for sure. It's like, I just look like I don't know. Should you be able to drive a Chevelle even though it bursts into flames? Like, I guess so,
yeah,
maybe.
Fair enough. You're right about the maliciousness of it, or like how pointed and purposeful it is and everything. It's like they know what they're doing and all that. And it's like that makes it pretty icky and everything.
And you can still, again, the vapes aren't illegal, they just don't taste good. You still can have the drug.
Yeah, I don't.
Right? So anyway, I just can't get too fucking open. I can't get up in arms about that. Like, you not only need the drug, you need it to taste like a fucking Jolly Rancher. Like,
yeah, this is America, goddammit. I need my fucking Jolly Rancher robot dick to suck on while I'm drinking these White Claws. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, like, this is, like, if anybody remembers this, Trump was the one who banned flavored vapes to begin
with. That's what I thought,
back in 2020.
Right.
Right? So, like, I don't know what the man believes. Neither does he. What the man believes is they should be illegal unless you give him $5 million.
I was about to say, to believe anything, it's just fuck you, pay me. That's what he believes. That's it.
Right. And this is just a pet peeve of mine because no one can fucking write anymore. And I'm going to quote from this New York Times story, okay? This is just purely me being a fucking writing nerd. But, like, the timing has Democrats and at least one Republican calling it corruption while others warn the real losers are American teenagers.
What?
Okay. Those are not two sides of a thing.
Right.
That it's corruption in the name of addicting teenagers lifelong to this product so they can make millions off of it while people die. That's explicitly what they're fucking doing. It's not like, it's like, well, one side says it's corruption, the other side says it's going to kill teenagers. That's not two sides. Okay, go ahead. This starts.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into it. Like I said, we got a lot of show today, so let's start that show right now with, you guessed it, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, Cypress Hill. For not realizing that billionaire white guy Tom Steyer is also insane in the membrane.
Hire the socks at the Dollar the Fool. Stock check, homie. Oh, damn. This was invited to the carne asada, dog. Higher than gas prices.
Nobody's socks go higher than Steyer.
Hire the socks.
Oh, wow. It's funny because I don't know. Like, though, the socks that he showed, those seem like such old white guy socks to me. I mean, I know the sock check thing with the cholos and whatnot, but it's like, it's an interesting overlap now that I think about it, you know?
Yeah. So that's hope. Like, I guess best case scenario, California's next governor, Tom Steyer, who's doing an appearance on an Instagram account called Foo's Gone Wild. I can't say it. I can't say it right. It's Foo.
Yeah.
Southern California Latino for food. Yeah. Foo's Gone Wild while wearing a shirt that says deport all racists. So I just want to, like, anybody that thinks we are not some form of democracy needs to explain to me why fucking people degrade themselves like that to win higher office.
Right.
If they're not doing it for votes, what are they doing? So, according to campaign disclosures, Steyer paid $50,000 to Foo's Gone Wild, ostensibly for that video. Yeah.
What? Holy shit. Yeah. I didn't see. I would have thought, I mean, like, no, he's not high enough level. In my head, it was just like whatever, a cross-promotional thing. I cannot believe his campaign paid them fucking $50,000. We got to figure this shit out, Mark. How many followers please don't buy that? This is fucking starting to drive me insane, dog. $50,000 for one fucking cross promo Instagram appearance like that.
I wasn't familiar with Foos Go Wild content, but I want to play with the normal thing is so you can see what the kind of like stuff he's alongside on their page. You get this, man.
Dog, down ass fool right here, homie. Where is this fool going, dog? This fucking ceviche, dog. Gonna go drop a bad ass masa at your tortas casa, homie. What's cracking?
Yeah. That is classic 2026 internet content right there.
This one just made me laugh. If you got this, I'm not gonna give you too much editing to do. We're on a short timeline, man. But I want to play this video if you get it.
Autumn is in the air, and he's feeling frisky. But time is not on his side. He must mate before the killing winter arrives. This is his best chance. A well-fed female.
Sorry. Laughed a little too hard at that. But
It was a good. It was out of nowhere. But yeah, they're making a Nat Geo documentary, wildlife mating documentary about
some dancing at a wedding or whatever. Yeah. But they have 3.4 million followers. So I guess it does sort of check out the amount there. They're about to have one more. I can tell you that. I'm about to add myself to their ranks right after this.
Considering the amount of like TV advertising I'm being blanketed with for races that don't even have any, like people are running unopposed and I see their ads every 14 seconds. I'm trying to watch a fucking NBA game, including my own Congressman, Brad Sherman, who's, I don't even know who's running against him, but I see his ads every 13 seconds. And like, the only thing I know about him is that someone took a candid photo of him on a plane flying back to Burbank once where he was like looking at OnlyFans content on his phone. So yeah, but American democracy is going great. But yeah, the pickings are so slim in the gubernatorial race that billionaire Tom Steyer has become the progressive darling, basically because like one of who he does and doesn't take money with. But he also said this about trans kids the other day. I'm totally in favor of trans athletes in high school. When you understand the vulnerability, the stress, the danger of being a trans kid, and you understand almost half of them try to commit suicide, then you think we're going to punish those kids? We're going to cut them off from team sports? It's like, no, we're fucking not. He didn't say fucking. I said fucking. But like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you're going to make a rule saying kids can't play together? I'm against that. It's like fairly straightforward. Everyone else steps on their tongues trying to say that shit. So yeah, he's sort of taking it progressively.
It's pretty wild to me that the California governor's race is going this way, because you would think it would be like a pretty hotly coveted political position or something that, like, you know, the powers that be would have had some kind of cogent plan for, or at least some kind. It just all seems so, like, fucking, scattered shot and fucking unserious to the point that, and I guess this isn't going to happen, but we were talking for a while, it might check out to where it end up with only two Republican options because of the vote being split so much. And it's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, well, Trump did them a favor because he's, a political genius. He endorsed one of the Republican guys so that all the Republican votes went to one guy. So it's basically a three-way race for California is a jungle, nonpartisan jungle primary.
Right.
Where everybody runs and you have a primary election. Then the top two, regardless of party, advance to the general.
Right. Right.
So right now, the only three seems like with likelihood of advancing to the general are the fucking MAGA haircut guy, who's a Fox News personality, originally from the UK, I think. Then Tom Steyer and Javier Becerra, who was Biden's former HHS secretary, who used to be the Attorney General of California. So Becerra just received $500,000 from McDonald's to his super PAC. And I'll look at this like list of donors here. If this was a blind ballot and you only saw a campaign's backers, which side would you pick if you want to throw this up here, Matt? Becerra has Uber, Chevron, Airbnb, McDonald's, Meta, Pacific Gas and Electric Company. And Steyer has Sierra Cub, Jane Fonda's Climate Pack, NRDC Action Fund, a bunch of unions, the California Teachers Association, yada, yada, yada. It seems pretty clear-cut, right?
It's weird because he's the billionaire and the other guy's not. It's
right.
Somebody I know, there was like a viral tweet about this race. It said, what if I told you a few years ago that in this gubernatorial election that progressives would be backing a billionaire and conservatives would be backing an immigrant. And I know the guy's like white or whatever. He's from the UK, mm-hmm. but still the Fox News guy's not from here originally.
Yeah. And Becerra, like, is caught in the middle of that. And I guess in his defense, Steyer doesn't need the money.
I was going to say right? that. I was like, well, to be fair, if this dude's a billionaire, he can pick and choose who he takes it from. And Becerra ain't got it like that. And you need a lot of money right. to realistically run a campaign. This is how they get you in the first place, I guess, you know.
But you can get on Foos Go Wild for 50 grand. Right, you don't need $500,000 for notes. Like, you really do a lot of get a lot of earned media as opposed to buying it and free media if you just like believe in stuff and say inspiring shit. But that's out of balance for a guy like Becerra. So if you need a little more details about Becerra, for example, the rest of Biden's team fucking hated his guts for being like an ineffectual, feckless loser, kind of. So perfect.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people would be like, in that administration? You know, it was like,
yeah. Yeah. So basically, like, every time California needs a governor, it's like, well, let's look around and find the most ineffectual fucking loser to put in mm-hmm. charge of the state. The eighth largest economy in the world. A very progressive state, ostensibly among the voters, anyway, and the process always results in the American left,
generally, and it's always like you said, fucking some cardboard white dude or whatever. It's fucking
pretty it's wild. A cardboard. It's basically animatronic puppet for Uber and fucking Silicon Valley, who just will only say shit like we need to fucking feed the homeless into an incinerator. It's who we always end up with. So. Yeah. So let me quote from Axios about Becerra. There was a deep animosity towards Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra for what is seen as his reluctance to find more space in child immigrant shelters, which are overseen by HHS, according to several sources familiar with the dynamics. So he didn't want to help solve any immigration problems because he didn't want to take accountability for having taken care of children because something might go wrong and then he would get the blame for it and that would be bad for him running for governor mm-hmm. of California. So Susan Rice, in a cabinet meeting aboard Air Force One, referred to Becerra as a bitch ass and probably called him an idiot. During one meeting when Biden was tearing into Becerra, Rice passed a note to Mayorkas, who was his DHS secretary, that read, "Don't save him," according to two people familiar with the meeting. So Joe Biden's yelling at him for being a fucking loser, and everybody else in the cabinet meeting is like, yep, fucking get his ass. So, Becerra's criticized as Health and Human Services Secretary for being absent in the public eye during the pandemic, for confusing messaging by federal public health authorities, and for the subsequent loss of public trust, and for his collaborative management style while serving as secretary. So if you wonder, like, wait a minute, I don't remember Javier Becerra being president at all during the pandemic.
Right.
Neither does the Biden administration. Yeah, right. That's the fucking problem. Yeah. Like, think about how much you see RFK. And I'm not saying Becerra should have been doing, like, riding a bicycle shirtless in a sauna with Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. But, like, he could have, like, I don't even know what his voice sounds like. Yeah. You?
No, I don't have a clue. I just found out what he looks like from, like, looking him up because of this the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dr. Oz, who's like four levels down from fucking RFK Jr., has more TV FaceTime than I remember Becerra ever getting. So anyway, let's bounce around to a few other primaries. A quick update from Florida. James Fishback, a returning champion, who's going to lose the primary for governor against Byron Donalds. He's the Groyper candidate, basically. He tweeted on Saturday with a picture of his new bride. "I met her last week, got engaged on Wednesday, completed all of Catholic marriage prep on Thursday, found a venue Friday, and got married yesterday."
But, like, really? He's not doing some kind of bid or something? Like, he really
I don't
met
know.
Him? Okay, all right.
I don't know. But I do want to say that, like, Fishback's mom's from Columbia, and he went to Georgetown, which is the Catholic college, so I feel like he had a head start with Catholicism. I don't know what the thing where he's, like, just learning about Catholicism on Thursday is about. Mm-hmm. But here's a picture of his new bride with a, as far as I can tell, a medieval meal of dead bird. Have you got this picture, Matt? And I know that Fishback has accusations. So I guess the vibe here is like, would a pedophile have a wife? Right. Checkmate, libs. So if you need a brief update on this guy, he feuds with OnlyFans models. He calls his primary opponent, who's a black man, a slave. He defends followers of Nick Fuentes and pledges that when he is governor, he will not let, quote, jesters and foids is incel slang for women, quote, spike our collective cortisol. All right, so that's Florida.
Okay, but he's losing, you said.
He'll lose.
So at least there's that. Yeah, but to Byron, whatever, he's he's that black MAGA congressman down there, right? Like, yes. It's not like he hits, but he hits harder than this dude, like, because this guy's a fucking complete maniac.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not sure if Donald would be racist if he was a white candidate, because it'd be very convenient for him, but, like, he's not, it's not a land that's available to him.
Yeah, right.
These people claw their fucking mother's bodies to fucking invent, to be elected to a no-show job as a public official. I don't really understand it, but, so I want to check in on the 35th congressional, Texas 35th District Democratic Congressional Primary for a second. If you got this video of Maureen, what's her last, why can't I think of her last name real quick? I'll tell you in a second. No matter. Play it. Glenda.
I want billionaire Zionists in prison. That does not mean I want Jews in internment camp.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. Could you, Maureen, could you do another take without the fucking stupid sunglasses? So, oh my God. So the Democratic Party has like fumbled themselves and like, I don't know how to describe this phenomenon, but anyway, so they've had their primary. Maureen got the most votes in the first round, so she's advanced to the runoff against one other guy, a sheriff's deputy by the name of Johnny Garcia. And I do want to say that it's pretty much a warning sign that a congressional campaign is not going well when you have to get on camera and it says it does not mean putting all Jews in internment camps. So she, by trade, is a millennial sick. Well, I don't know if millennial is part of her job description or she is a millennial, but she's been described as a millennial sex therapist. It'd be funny to be a sex therapist exclusively for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just, when in bed, I feel like a small bean. Like, yeah. she won narrowly in the primary in March. And like I said, she's up in a primary runoff against Garcia, which happens today, I guess. Democrats have largely abandoned her because of these videos. These are across the ideological spectrum of the Democratic Party, from Josh Gottheimer to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she has no money left, which we'll get to this in a second. But her secret weapon in this race is Republicans. When I say she has no money, she has $18,000 on hand. But a Republican super PAC is spending $800,000 promoting her.
Okay, right. That's where I was asking you about this the other day, but in reverse, about how in the last election, we heard all that talk all the time about, you know, Democrats funding super insane MAGA candidates, hoping they would lose later. And you were talking about how, like, yeah, I haven't heard as much of that for these. It's funny this comes up, but in reverse, because it, you know,
well,
that's presumably exactly what they're doing, right? They're trying to get her through the primary because they know they can whip her ass, they think, in the
that's not even really the case here. They're funding her to make her a national firebrand. They don't have any she has no hope of winning this district. I seriously doubt.
Okay.
Right. So, well,
man, they just got money to burn, don't they? You mean they could just pour money on something like this just to get enough of people around the country to go, look at this crazy liberal bitch.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of it.
She's getting a lot of national coverage. And like I said, a bunch of Democrats walking in the halls of Congress right now are being asked, do you disavow Maureen Galindo? Right.
Wow.
So that's why you do this. Like, I want to just say that what you're describing the Democrats did in prior election cycles and what they're doing, Republicans are doing here, are two kind of different things.
Yeah.
When Democrats intervened in Republican primaries, they were, the person would not have objected to their help. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They were not running ads or objectionable to the candidate they were promoting. What they were doing in close districts, say like a district with a Republican congressman that Biden won, they would run ads for MAGA McGee. He was like, he's the Trump endorsed candidate. He's more loyal to MAGA. This other candidate's a rhino.
Yeah. And that guy would be like, hell yeah, brother. Like, it was all good stuff that he liked to hear about himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the trick there is what it does is it helps them in a Republican primary where their voters are more conservative than the general electorate, while also branding them in the swing voters' minds as a hardcore conservative in a way they cannot break free of in the general to pivot to the center. Right?
Right.
This, they're just saying, this woman hates Jews. Yeah. Vote for her.
Right, yeah. And that same, yeah. And the MAGA candidate is like, you know, would be like, hell yeah, but for her, that's a problem. So,
right.
It's funny that you say like almost the same things about people. Just, it depends on the context for how it's received.
So the organization that is promoting her, that the Republicans are funding, is called Lead Left Pack, which is a dead giveaway because no Democratic pack would call themselves Lead Left. That's a fucking that's like the ordering three drinks and Inglourious Bastards with the wrong fingers,
right?
Because no Democratic big money group considers itself left wing. Their whole mission in life is to drag the party back to the center.
Yeah.
But yeah, that pack was founded about a month ago in Florida, and was its website metadata initially contained a link to Republican fundraising platform WinRed, but then Punchbowl News reported that, and everything vanished off the internet. So to get back to what Maureen actually said, in an Instagram post last week, she promised that if elected, she would turn ICE in detention centers in her district into, quote, a prison for American Zionists and former ICE officers for human trafficking. She added, it will also be a castration processing center for pedophiles, which will probably be most of the Zionists.
Okay. All right. She's always got to take it that extra mile, Maureen does.
So I don't know who else is running this besides Galindo and Garcia. But I feel like there's a giant chasm between these two viewpoints here where somebody could have voiced responsible criticism of Israel and Zionism.
Right.
That it's not this. But also, the people making fun of her, I saw, what's his name? Why can't I think of it? Jared Moskowitz saying, like, well, I personally am against traffic. I don't think we should have concentration camps, like, joking about it. But the point is, we already have the fucking camps.
Mm-hmm.
I am opposed to concentration camps no matter who's in them. Right now, we have concentration camps with immigrants in them. She was saying maybe we should put ICE officers and Zionists in them. And they're laughing at her like the camps don't already exist. And the gap in these two realities is why candidates like her can make it, like, no one else is saying anything. Like, she's the only outlet for this shit.
Right.
Like, do you want to let actual leftists who aren't fucking crazy and wear crazy sunglasses and talk about running castration centers? Or do you want to, like...
Right.
It's like, if she wins, it'll be on the party. Like, it's like, it's... Yeah, anyway. This district, by the way, Texas 35 is a newly redrawn district because of Texas gerrymandering. Uh-huh. That encompasses part of San Antonio and parts of rural Texas to the south and east. The previous iteration was represented by Progressive Caucus Chair Greg Kasar, mm-hmm. who's now running in a different district. This is a district that's like likely Republican, but in a wave election could be winnable, which is why they prefer Garcia. Garcia is a career cop who's cast himself as the political mold of in the political mold of conservative Texas Democrat Henry Cuellar, who's a pro-life white-wing Democrat who should be in prison if Trump hadn't pardoned him for corruption.
I mean, what even is that? Well, I mean, like, what does that mean? Like, you just say I'm a Democrat?
I idolize the guy who should be in fucking prison for campaign finance fraud, is what he's saying. And the national party's like, we love this fucking guy.
Just because he's not... whatever, a crazy leftist or whatever, you know, he's like closer to the center, they think, but really he's just a straight up conservative who calls himself a Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I went to like her Marine sex therapy site. It says she offers a quote liberation based approach that can help you quote discover the keys that unlock your most authentic pleasures. She assures potential clients, I'm supportive of all identities and relationship styles, so long as they honor the safety of the self and others, physically, emotionally, and otherwise. Heart emoji. This is, I don't really know what sex therapy entails. I know it doesn't involve actual sex, mm-hmm. right? But I know, but her fees are individual sessions cost $200 and couple sessions are $250. Personally, I would charge more for the individual sessions because you're definitely get a bunch of dudes signing up or think they're getting handjobs. Anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to shift gears and...
Should we take a break first?
Huh? Yeah. So we're going to shift gears and talk about Cuba stuff right after this. We'll be right back. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Leesa. That's L-E-E-S-A. Here's the thing about sleep. You don't realize how bad your sleep's gotten until it actually gets good again. You can take that from me. I know that personally. It's a battle I've been fighting lately. When you sleep badly, you just keep waking up with a crick in your neck and a chip on your shoulder. You're tired during the day. You don't know why that is. It don't have to be that way at all, though. That's why I'm excited to tell y'all about Lisa. Lisa builds mattresses around how you actually sleep, how you sleep. You just take a little 2-minute sleep quiz, and it will match you to your perfect feel. And from night one, you get premium materials, real comfort, full body support. And these things are designed and assembled right here in the U.S. of A., backed with free shipping, easy returns, and a 120-night trial, so you can actually live with it and decide for yourself. Best hybrid and best memory foam, per the New York Times wire cutter. So highly rated over there at Lisa, and they've donated over 43,000 mattresses to families in need. So their hearts are in the right place too. So if it sounds good to you and you're trying to sleep a little better, go to Lisa.com. That's L-E-E-S-A, Lisa.com, for 30% off select mattresses, plus an extra $50 off when you use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W, at checkout. That is exclusive to our listeners. That's L-E-E-S-A.com, promo code S-K-E-W. Tell them we sent you after checkout at Lisa. Weekly Skews is brought to you by the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. If you think religious freedom should protect everybody and not get weaponized to slam the door on certain people, certain parents especially, then you should check out Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So if you don't know, Trump has a new Religious Liberty Commission, and it's kind of a misnomer. They're certainly not meeting to protect everybody's faith. They're meeting to figure out how to push a Christian nationalist agenda. That's what they're doing. Religious freedom is supposed to protect your right to believe whatever you believe, right? As long as you don't hurt anybody else, especially kids, you know, but that's exactly who's getting trampled right now when taxpayer-funded foster agencies turn away good families over their religious beliefs. And we have real examples really happening in this country. There's a Jewish couple in Tennessee denied, a Catholic mom of three rejected because she wouldn't sign a evangelical statement of faith, a same-sex couple turned away. You could probably guess why. It's all about what these people's religious beliefs are, and that ain't supposed to be how it works in this country. That's the way I learned it, and I'm sure you did too. And now we got children sitting there. All they want is a loving home, parents who want to give it to them, and we got dogma and propaganda standing in the way for no reason. If you don't like that, like I don't like that, you can get involved by going to au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight's far from over, and every one of us has a part to play. So go to au.org/crooked. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. You know that? It's a good reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone, all right? You know, life's a journey. Some days are good, some days are bad, real bad. And it could be real easy to just lay there at 2 a.m. staring at the ceiling, trying to untangle the whole world in your head, like that's ever once worked for anybody. We all know that don't work. Nobody's got all the answers themselves. It's just not realistic. But having somebody with you to talk to, to listen, to understand, just to have your back, that changes everything. And that's what therapy is. Don't overthink it. Therapy is about having somebody to talk to and talk through things with, and BetterHelp makes it easier to do. Their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They've got over 30,000 of them, and they match you with a quick questionnaire that you fill out based on what your needs are. And if who they match you with doesn't click, that's fine. You can switch anytime you want to. No hassle whatsoever. That's how you end up with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating across more than 1.5 million reviews. Pretty good sample size. They're doing something right over there. You don't have to do this alone, y'all. Find support in therapy and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/skews. That's betterhelp.com/skews, skews, for 10% off. BetterHelp, help yourself. All right, and we're back. I'm going to be honest, I don't know exactly where this is going, but I can tell y'all that Mark has titled this, he has termed this the Cuban Rizzle Crisis. Which I really like. Looking forward to hearing that being explained.
We got to get our Riz back, Trey. The vibes are bad. The vibes are bad. We fucked them up in Iran, man. We just lost Iran, I think. So people seem to be settling into that can becoming acclimated to that idea. So Trump's trying to pivot away from Iran because he's bored and can't win it.
It is like ending for real, probably. Like, oh, we lost, but it's about to be over, because I'm fine with that, obviously. He keeps trying to
declare the status quo victory, and Iran won't let him.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, he just wants them to sign a piece of paper that says he's cool and wins, and they won't do it.
Right.
So, we're just stuck here with these blockades of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They announced over the weekend that the deal was 95% agreed to, but the 5% left over was whether or not Iran could continue its nuclear program and whether or not the Strait of Hormuz was open, which is right. Like, what the fuck
seems
is the other 95%?
More than 5% to me. Yeah, right. And now that Trump said about it, he's like, Nobody's seen the deal or knows what it is, but whatever it is, it'll be better than Obama's deal if it happens, which no one is privy to or whatever. It'll just it'll be good if we do it, but nobody knows. So
I do want to say that like when the details of the hypothetical deal were announced over the weekend, Lindsey Graham read them and said this, if you could read this for me, Trey, and if you're attempted like South Carolina draw, Lindsey Graham draw.
Don't ask me to do that. It'll be boring, anyway, but because it won't sound like how he actually sounds. I'll just start talking like my Uncle Tim or whatever. But it makes one wonder why the war started to begin with.
Yes. And so it's like, wait a minute, like the biggest Iran hawk is like, what if we're just going to do it this way? That's fucking stupid. It's like, yeah, thank you for getting here, man. Like, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about what's going on with Cuba and the South America, Latin America-wide series of conflicts we seem to be starting if we have time for the rest of them. But first, happy Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the kind of things we ask the troops to do all the time. I was going to point out that according to the Congressional Research Service, in the post-World War II era, the United States has sent armed forces abroad somewhere roughly 350 times. Different people count differently, but by the standard academic definition, only five of those deployments were big enough and violent enough to count as wars, calling Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
One victory, one stalemate, and three losses. We're one for 350. What are we, James Harden in the playoffs?
Hey, there it is.
Sorry, Cleveland, RIP Cavs. So those troop deployments that we're talking about since 1945 have produced over 100,000 combat deaths that we count them, but this is radically undercounted because we don't count deaths from accidents, illnesses, or post-combat suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't count contractor deaths, which is important in our modern warfare because 2/3, 3/4 of the forces we deploy a lot of times are contractors. And if a couple Blackwater guys driving a truck delivering supplies get blown up, they don't count against our total.
Right. And that's why I gained the system there. Cooked the books
costs,
a little bit.
It costs extra.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It costs extra, but there are no flag-draped coffins. Their coffins come home in regular
mail. It's all BR stuff. It's also like the shit that they do is a little more, you know what I mean? It's like it's there's a little bit of a cover there for...
Yeah, but when I say like when I say contractors, I'm not just talking about the mercenaries. I mean like we use a lot of foreign labor for like cooks and stuff. So they're like a bunch of Filipino cooks in our bases in Syria and shit.
Right.
Like
those guys get blown up. Yeah.
Yeah. But they get killed by an IED. They don't show up at any school board.
Mm-mm.
Post 9/11, the number of veteran suicides has been four times the number of combat deaths, so probably we're well over 250,000 troop deaths all told. So, to quote the great philosopher Sturgill Simpson, keep your mouth shut, boy, get in line, meet your maker overseas. That's her national motto.
Mm-hmm.
So, going to Cuba. It might be lost on everyone that the war has already started. We haven't had to fire any shots so far, but a blockade of this magnitude would generally be considered an act of war. We didn't do this much during the Cuban Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. In that conflict, we allowed ships not carrying weapons to proceed to Cuba. Right now, fucking nothing can go through. Nothing.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I know that we'd had that whatever an embargo and stuff on that on Cuba shit for like basically ever, but I didn't know. Mm. What level that basically existed at versus what we're doing right now. So it's just total lockdown.
They got all their oil from Venezuela. So right. I think we probably did Venezuela as a beginning point for this operation.
Yeah,
so
I remember you saying a version because of Marco and shit when it first happened.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we did let one Russian oil tanker through as a favor to Putin.
That's nice.
A month ago, but since then, since then we haven't let any oil through, and Cuba's now saying they're about out of oil. Cuba's Minister of Energy, has confirmed their reserves are all gone, basically. Just enough diesel left to keep hospitals online for a little bit longer. They're undergoing blackouts 22 hours a day, which is inconceivable to Americans.
Yeah.
How do they order Uber Eats? Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I didn't. No, man. It definitely was lost on me. I didn't realize any of this. Or especially, I knew that there was rumblings and shit about Cuba or whatever. I did not know that it was already to this level down there now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to, like, something's going to have to give sooner. They're not going to be able to feed themselves. I'm not sure, like, think about a short side of this for a second, because the next step of this is people getting on boats and going to Florida.
Yeah, of course, right.
Are we going to let those boats in?
Right.
I don't fucking think
probably
so.
Probably not. No, yeah.
Are we going to shoot them with drones?
All right.
What is the plan here? All right. So, yeah. So, like, I want to talk about, like, so Hassan Piker, leftist streamer, has been subpoenaed by the United States Treasury as a prelude to an indictment, I guess, over a trip he took to Cuba back in March. He participated in a humanitarian aid trip to Cuba. He's one of roughly 40 Americans now under federal investigation for their involvement in these trips. They took medicine and like hospital supplies and solar panels. So
that's it. It's illegal to do that to a country that our government is blockading or whatever.
They also there's a list of hotels you can and cannot stay at in Cuba because some fund the administration in some way or the regime in some way. I don't really understand. It doesn't matter. But the point, they're pretending that Hassan stayed in a hotel he wasn't supposed to stay in when he actually didn't. This whole subpoena seems to be based upon a viral tweet that was made up that they believe. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But Nick Shirley, remember Nick Shirley, the guy that jumped off the Minnesota invasion? That fucking stupid streamer?
Yeah, the kicking over the ice.
No, that's Jake Lang. That's a different guy.
Sorry. Is Nick Shirley the one that a black guy saved him from getting the shit beat out of him?
No, that's Jake Lang.
Okay, I'm only thinking of Jake Lang. Nick Shirley. Shit with the Somali kid daycare. I'm doing air quotes documentary shit.
Yeah.
That guy. Yes.
Yeah. So he took a trip to Cuba to expose the horrors of communism, but couldn't stay in like a non-nice hotel. So he's the one that stayed in the fucking sanctioned hotel. So he's the one who should be facing indictment, if anybody, but that's not going to happen. This kind of thing, we keep talking about SPM7 and the government trying to process just being a left prosecute, just being a left winger as terrorism. This is kind of what it looks like, because they're going to try to prosecute a bunch of people for terrorism or sedition or financing terrorism, whatever, for taking crutches, solar panels, and penicillin to Cuba. And, I don't know how you consider yourself the good guy when you do that. You could just overlook that. I don't know what fucking small crate of animation.
Weapons or something? Sure. Whatever. But, yeah, humanitarian stuff, fucking medicine and food. I mean, come on. Like you said, I just thought that's the type of thing. It's like, you just wouldn't get arrested for doing by a country like America. You know, it's like, yeah, we're going to keep fucking them over and or blowing them up, but you can feed them if you want to. That's fine. We might blow you up too, just so you know, but we'll let you attempt to do that at least. I didn't know we'd put you in jail for that.
So, yeah, they don't like Piker. He gets stopped when he goes into the country. Yeah. At border patrol, gets stopped by border patrol and questioned about his tweets and shit.
Uh-huh.
So I know that, but also I do want to. I do think his prosecution might be about this. If you have this is Piker talking to Elon Musk's one of his 47 brood mares, former MAGA blogger Ashley St. Clair.
What is this? This is a hoodie.
You got me a hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put this down here. Oh God! What's gonna be in this hood? This is gonna be. Let's see.
You ready? Are you ready, chat?
Oh God! Oh no! I'm not even gonna see it first. Chat's gonna see it before I do.
I'm not the stepdad. I'm the dad who stepped up. So here he is taunting Elon Musk while his. So after Piker got indicted, Sinclair made another video singing along to the song "I'm in Love with a Criminal."
Okay, but all right. So is this? Are they an item mark, or she's just doing a thing? Yeah, nobody. It just seems that way. Yeah,
I don't know. Her basic story is she converted away from MAGAism when Elon wouldn't pay his fucking child support and try to get her to sign NDAs and shit. So. Yeah, anyway, this is politics now. This is what it is. These guys are so personalist. Would a guy maybe go on a date with Elon Musk's estranged mother of his child, with a child that he's not allowed to see because he won't pay to buy it food? Is that a reason for a guy to get prosecuted? Apparently, in America. Right. But also, if you wonder why, because Piker grew up in Turkey at one point. He's born here, grew up in Turkey, I think. But if you wonder why Elon's so mad about the Odyssey, or he keeps posting about it, I should point out that he might be getting cucked by a tall Trojan warrior who's jacked. So back to Cuba, the pretext for imminent action here, and I do like even the leak when they leak it, did a big leak to Axios. Axios called it a pretext in the lead, which is really fun to me because like they can't even leak right. So they just indicted Cuban President Raul Castro over shooting down planes in 1996. Raul Castro, Fidel's brother, making him the Donnie Wahlberg of communist dictators.
Yeah.
So the reason they indicted him is now they have a pretext of a law enforcement operation like they did with Maduro to go get him, right? They can send Delta Force to go seize him and call it like an arrest. But again, I want to point out this happened in 1996, and these civilian planes were operated by Miami-based Cuban exiles and when Raul was defense minister. The organization running these fights was called... Sorry, go ahead. You got a question.
This dude... Okay. Raul Castro is... This happened in 1996. He's alive now, and he's in Cuba?
He's the president of Cuba.
He's the president of Cuba. I thought you said the former Cuban president.
No. No, he's a former. He was a defense minister at the time in 1996.
Right, Fidel Castro's brother, former and now president of Cuba, and so they indicted him in court in Miami because they're going to do some Maduro shit. They didn't indict him so they could go.
They indicted him. I think they indicted him in New York. It doesn't really matter. But like, yeah. So down in these planes in 1996, the group that ran them was called Brothers to the Rescue. So at the time, let's transport back to the 90s for a second. Bill Clinton was president, and this is around the time of – this is before the Elian Gonzalez ship. This led up to it, right? So Castro, under intense sanctions, said, fuck it. If you guys want to leave, you can leave to his people, right? So 125,000 people tried to get on boats. He basically organized – Castro was like, here's the boats. Go have fun in Florida, right? And then under the Clinton administration was like, no, wait, we don't want 125,000 people going to Florida. That seems like a fucking mess. We don't like immigrants that much, right?
Right.
So
you said it was leading up the Elian Gonzalez stuff.
That was 96. This is before that.
So it was like the build up to that. Yeah. Because obviously I was 9 and 10 years old. I remember Elian Gonzalez being a thing, but I didn't remember that. I was like, so he was like just sort of the mascot of this massive flood of Cuban refugees, basically, because I didn't remember none of that at all.
Yeah. So, enter Brothers to the Rescue at around this point in time, right? They escalated supply drops to Cuba. To the people on the boats are dropping them like water, food, blankets, also dropping stuff near the mainland. They were getting way too close to the mainland, which is part of which predicated this. But they were intensely trying to pick a fight with Castro to break this weird stalemate between Clinton and the Cuban regime, right? So three Cessnas entered Cuban airspace near Havana. And I want to point out here that similar networks have been smuggling drugs in and out of Cuba and also weapons to Cuba on behalf of the CIA and the mafia and Cuban exiles since the 1960s, the Cuban Revolution in the 1960s. So here's three small planes in Cuban airspace. Castro orders his men to shoot at them. They shoot down two of them. One escapes. This group was headed by a guy named Jose Basalto, who later testified in court he had been a CIA operative at one point. There's a movie about this group from 2019 that starred Ana de Armas and Wagner Moura called The Wasp Network, which I'm going to download from my plane ride tomorrow, so look forward to watching that. We indicted a guy for shooting down planes in 1996 that were in Cuban airspace.
Right.
Regardless of whether you think their mission was moral or not, I want to point out here that we are currently blowing up people, civilians, in international waters. If I was a member of that government, I might not want to set the precedent that you can be prosecuted for shit like this. Or rather, maybe I do want them to set the precedent because I want to see all these people end up in fucking court for killing all these people.
Right. But if you are the actual president who's doing that, it's like, you know, you don't give a fuck about precedent or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's different, Mark. We're doing it, which hits.
And if these boats were in American waters, they would not stop or slow down. I honestly would not have any fucking problem with the Coast Guard lighting them up. Yeah, right? That's kind of what you have a Coast Guard for.
Right.
Like, this is way more justifiable under law and morality shooting down these planes than whatever we're doing in the fucking Caribbean. But anyway, that's secondary here. Here's another one here. Exclusive. U.S. eyes attack drone threat from Cuba. So somebody from the DOD, I'm sorry, the Department of War, leaked to Axios that Cuba has acquired more than 300 military drones, specifically Shahed drones that Iran's been using and that Russia's been using against Ukraine. And we're worried about this because why? Can you tell me? They say they can reach Guantanamo Bay. Obviously, yeah. That's on their fucking island. Yeah. They can reach Key West.
Right.
They can reach our boats if we try to attack them. But like no one's alleging they're preparing a first strike here. But we do this thing all the time where we basically accuse people of being as violent as we are and accuse them as a pretext to fucking attack them first.
Right.
Like, well, they have this like we're only gonna use those drones if we attack them.
Right.
Therefore, if we don't attack them, the drones are not a fucking problem. In the same article, a DOD source is like, yeah, we don't even think they have one fighter jet.
Right. Yeah. So, well, but also, it sounds like we're doing like basically a siege right now, though, right? Mm-hmm. We're like starving them out and then starve them out for a bit and then do like a Maduro operation and we just own Cuba now or something. Like, is, you know, probably what they're thinking or headed towards, probably, especially if that's what kind of military capability they got. But they're just trying to like gin up some support, a little bit of, I don't know, fear mongering, jingoism, patriotism, that type of stuff.
Because Cuba, unlike Iran, we would have to, like, the only reason to do this would be to actually occupy Cuba and to change its government. Because, like, this isn't going to, like, and you want to, I watched an interview with, like, these things are always filtered and selected, so I'm not trying to say it's 100% true, but I watched, like, interviews with a bunch of people on the street in Cuba who don't want this to happen, because obviously they don't want to live through a fucking war and being bombed and shit. But also, like, they're suspicious of what comes next. Because what comes next is a bunch of the cracker-ass white Cubans they cast off in the first place in the 1960s come back to reacquire their plantations and hotels and turn them back into fucking serfs.
Yeah, right. Probably not looking forward to that.
No. I'm not saying we put the mafia back in charge, because
they're not all going to be doing that, Mark. One of them's going to be getting busy for the NFL season. Fernando Mendoza, shout out. Raiders, number one overall pick. Yeah. He'll be busy doing football, the good Christian boy football stuff. So, no plantations for him. His family, I don't know, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. So, they're just, I mean, I don't think, like, one reason I wouldn't put the mafia back in charge is everything the mafia does is legal now. So, there'd be corporations back in charge. It'd be a legal casino.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be data mining and Bitcoin operations and fucking, sugar plantation doesn't need any humans working on it. So I'm not sure what the people do at this point, but that's not the Trump administration's concern. But the amount of propaganda we go through to get here with this stuff, and I just want to point out again, like, the drones, the defensive drones thing, it's like, it sounds like they're preparing to defend themselves from our attack. That's not fair. Therefore, we must attack them.
Right, yeah.
How paranoid we are. The New York Times put this graphic up of how the Cuban government and economy works. And this thing has to be seen to be believed. You want to put this up, Matt. So those are arrows connecting the president to the Cuban military to the Cuban government. They've really uncovered something here. And they both point to... It's like
they need to fill out this graphic, I feel like, a little bit, need some more data points. Okay, but what is GESA or whatever in the middle?
It's a state-run investment fund.
Right.
So it'd be like if it pointed to, like, I don't know, like the Department of Health and Human Services funding hospitals or something, except it's communist, so it's a little bit more widespread than that. But, like, if you imagine Trump at the top of a chart with arrows pointing to, like, the Department of Homeland Security, Department the Pentagon, like, oh, this is like, this is
the shit, right? Yeah, it's obvious.
It's like, but it looks conspiratorial, right? It's like the chart. It's like the Charlie from Oh, It's Always Sunny, like, conspiracy board meme. Except it's like the flow chart's like, I ate, therefore I pooped. Like, what does it mean?
I ate, therefore I pooped. If Rene Descartes was a Zoomer influencer.
So we don't have time to get into all this stuff. I mentioned Ecuador a couple of, Ecuador is the most fascinating one, but it takes too much time, so we're not going to be able to get to that. But to talk about Bolivia real quick, So Evo Morales, the former socialist president, who was their first ever indigenous president, has been in hiding in the rural regions of his country. He claims that the United States and the country's government are now trying to murder him. The pretext here is he's on the run from quote-unquote sex trafficking charges related to him getting a 15-year-old pregnant back in 2006, I believe, which is... I'm not saying that that shouldn't be prosecuted if it's true. I just want to point out that the why now becomes a question, considering the underage... I think the age of consent in Bolivia is 14, so not even really underage at the time. But, like, the underage girl is 36 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Their child is old enough to consent, even in the United States.
Right.
So, the why now is an important question here. But it'd be nice if the America part wasn't somewhat plausible. But unfortunately, I know how to Google the term rare earth minerals. Trey, did you know that Bolivia has the world's largest lithium deposits?
I did not. Mark, I'm an American. I don't know literally anything about Bolivia. I know that it exists and is down there, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Lithium, though, I know that's cool. We like that.
Yeah, it goes into batteries for electric cars and all your cell phones and shit. And also, it's presumably has some missile components and stuff. So, you know, do you know that while having the world's largest lithium deposits, they extract relatively little historically because their constitution gives indigenous people veto power over stuff being taken off their lands? And you also know that what they did extract largely went to China and Russia until recently, but not anymore. Wow, that's crazy. So let me go to read here. Four headlines that I think tell a story. These are all from this year. January, Bolivia's lithium gamble tests U.S. realignment in Latin America. March, Bolivia minister pledges legal certainty for investors. This means we've gotten rid of the socialists and now you don't have to worry about tax rates and regulations changing. But yeah, the subject of that article reads, Bolivia's new mining minister is vowing to woo back foreign investors in lithium who fled two decades of socialist party rule. 2 weeks ago, Bolivia seeks to strengthen lithium cooperation with the United States. And then last week, Bolivia rocked by protests as U.S. warns of coup d'etat. Their new president took office in November of 2025, not long after Trump did. His name is Rodrigo Paz. And he promised basically to turn toward closer ties with the United States after two decades, like I said, of socialist rule. But they're in the middle of the worst economic crisis in four decades with shortages of dollars and fuel, and his party took office promising economic shock therapy, but conditions have only gotten worse, and he's been deeply unpopular because his first thing that he did was to end a two-decade-long fuel subsidy, promising that the free market would bring higher-quality fuel into the country. But instead, there's just no fucking gas, and people are protesting it, and America's calling it a coup. So, he's also, like... this week... Ecuador is also in a diplomatic crisis with Colombia, so this is part and parcel of the same thing. We seem to be ginning up like a right-wing military alliance against Colombia and Mexico. But he's kicked out Colombia's ambassador because he basically is calling Colombia the puppet master behind these protests after Gustavo Petro, the Colombia's president, said that he called Bolivia a puppet of the U.S. government and said they were experiencing a popular insurrection that was a response to geopolitical arrogance. So... what do we make of this?
I don't know, but those people that are protesting the gas prices or they're not gas shortages or whatever, they better hope that we don't find out and, you know, come down there offering to help the way we did the protesters in Iran. You know what I mean? They're like, it's like, hey, you guys want some help? We can help you guys out with that. They're like, please, for the love of God, don't help us out with it. Let us protest. It's fine. We're doing it. We got it under control.
We were caught smuggling weapons inside supposed aid shipments of vegetables back in George W. Bush's administration in like 2006, 2007 that were tied to, now, race is mutable across, you know, various societies, but the well-off elite Bolivian white supremacists who consider themselves fascists and heirs to the Spanish conquistadors who conquered that country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were shipping them weapons while they were like, having cocktail parties. They talked to the New York Times about how what they needed was the bloodletting of a new civil war.
Right.
So, yeah, this is the thing about Trump is he just does the shit.
Yeah, right.
That we used to be ashamed of doing when we got caught.
No, I know. Central America and South America, we've been fucking around down there for a long time. It's CIA's playground, baby. But, yeah, like you said, it's all more just out in the open now. Less shame. We could do with a little more shame. I've been saying it for a while. Don't know if it's going to make a comeback anytime soon, though. Got to forcefully bring it back. Bring back shame. Anyway, thanks for watching. We appreciate it. Listen, come see me live on the road, please. I've got Seattle coming up this weekend, and then Florida and the Carolinas and a bunch of other places in the near future, all of which are at TreyCrowder.com. You can also check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive, Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's a nice palate cleanser for you. And consider supporting this show on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month. You get ad-free versions of every episode of the show, plus two bonus episodes every month, including sometimes Skew and A's where we answer your questions. We'll have one of those coming up very soon. Either way, we appreciate you watching the main show, and we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.